quite a few months ago when Brother Clay Thomas called me and asked if I would consider coming here. In the course of the visit came up the question, what do you want to call the area you will be presenting? Normally, I like to say I'm going to pray about it and I'll let you know, but at that very moment I said, how about Heaven Came Down? That's a good one. So the theme was baptized during that phone call. Heaven Came Down. And so I have been talking to the Lord about how do you want me to handle Heaven Came Down. How much of heaven came down when Mary laid the babe in the manger in Bethlehem? Did all of heaven come down? You are wise people. Could earth contain all of heaven if heaven tried to come down in full? Could it? We are a speck down here, aren't we? So, heaven came down is really a good, joyful expression which shares with others what happened to an individual when Jesus came into the heart of a sinner and made it clean, right? My sins were all washed away. My night was turned to day. But that's only, right, a little bit of heaven, strictly speaking. Just a foretaste of heaven. Would you agree? We say the sun came into the room when you pulled the drapes and the curtain aside, right? Did the sun come in? Yes. Did the sun come in? No. We have expressions that, taken literally, could become a problem, and yet they are very meaningful. May I use the word juicy? There's good flavor in them and refreshing content. A young lady came from Canada to Aden, Arabia, as a missionary. And just like a few years before that, in West Africa, in Ghana, we have a nice young man from Ghana. I was sitting next to him at breakfast time this morning. When I first arrived there, I was a greenhorn. Nothing to do with the real horn, you know. I knew very little, if anything, that could be put into the word missionary. But I meant well. Well, this young lady also, a few years later, I was there in West Africa in 45. And this was in 49, almost 50. And the room was full of people. She stood up to speak to the group, and she started with, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said. You should have been there and watched what those people did. Oh God, forgive me. I heard a blasphemy. They were Muslims. Son of God, blasphemy. God is not born. God doesn't give birth to another God. Don't want to hear it. And yet the young lady, not knowing all that, carried on talking. She did not know she had a lost audience already. Are you still with me? I hope I haven't lost you. What do you do when you are among Muslims? Do you use the title Son of God? Who? That's a red rag to the bull. You lost them. So should you drop the title? Then you're in trouble with the scriptures, right? Because that's the name for him. The one that, what? Heaven came down to Bethlehem. So what are you going to do? Either side is too dangerous. Is there a happy balance? I was going to say happy medium, but that's pure simple arithmetic measure. Cut it in half and take the middle, but that's called compromise. No, compromise is not accepted by God. Do you agree? Does God offer us compromise? So what would I do? Let's pray. Dear Father, I started with a story and a question. But you know where you want to take us this morning. So I pray that each one of us shall be quick to tune into your frequency. And through the precious Holy Spirit, make Jesus Christ scripturally real and true. No matter who the audience, a raw pagan that is bowing down and offering sacrifices to the spirits to appease them, or a Muslim who says, La ilaha illallah, or a Christian who says Jesus is the Son of God but doesn't know him, or a Christian who says Jesus is the Son of God and loves him and enjoys him as Savior and Lord. Help us to really move in the right frequency into your rich presence this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And so, in Aden, Arabia, among Muslims, Arabs, Somalis, and then quite a few people from India there and so on, how could one handle this rather prickly pear question? What are you going to call him? And you know, God says, if you lack wisdom through James, you should do what? Go to Greece to the philosophers, right? After all, you know. But the Epicureans and the Stoics couldn't help me. I'm fairly well acquainted with them, but they couldn't help me. Origen in Egypt, who pulled out first with dots of, I don't like this word or this statement, and later on in his later edition dropped them out altogether. And since 1981, unfortunately, his elimination of some very important words, phrases, and passages in the New Testament, more and more in our Bible colleges and seminaries, has become the standard. I said unfortunately. Didn't have much time to the one that came down and became one of us. That is a no-no. The spirit is pure. The material stuff around us and our bodies can't go with the spirit. And therefore, he could not come and live in a human body. And so he weeded out so much that a young lady in Germany that happened to hear me talk to her Lieutenant Colonel father, saying to him, the RSV that has followed the 1881 revision has left out some precious nuggets from the text that is circulating. She thought, that short little fellow, what does he know? So she challenged and tasked herself, she challenged me in her mind and tasked herself to prove me wrong. About a little over 2 months later, I'm on my way back to the States. I stopped there and she said, Mr. Talk, when you said to my father, the RSV has left out a lot of good words and statements from the New Testament, I didn't believe you. So I undertook to see if that is true. And then she produced a notebook about this thick, page after page, either one word or a phrase or a whole verse and so on, with the reference, the whole notebook full. And she said, now I am persuaded, not because you said it, but because all this is missing from the New Testament in the RSV. If you don't think so, try it. Some people think they can decide what should be in the New Testament and what shouldn't. And if they don't like it, just like, you know, little ones at the table, I don't like it, what is it? Have you ever heard anyone say that? My wife and I had two kids like that. That's a few years ago, you know. And the first time I brought a carton of cottage cheese, and I began to put a little bit in the plate of Eunice and Timmy. Eunice, first being older, said, I don't like it, Daddy. What is it? Well, I said, let me see. A quick SOS to the Lord. What do I do? I said, you don't have to like it. Oh, good. Then I don't have to eat it. No. You don't have to like it. You only have to eat it. Oh, okay. If only I have to eat it and I don't have to like it, good. Would you believe it? A few days later, if I didn't get quick to the carton, there wasn't cottage cheese left. They didn't have to like it. They only had to eat it. Try that with God's word. You'll be surprised how much more you will want more of it. Provided it's not your taste buds that run the show. Right? You don't have to like it. Just eat it. You will really begin to like it so much, you won't be having enough of it. How many have discovered that? Don't be afraid. God's word doesn't always taste great at first. But once you discover what's in it, you can't have enough of it. And so, now among the Muslims, what do I do, Lord? So here is Ali. He says, that's a blasphemy. Magawi means deceiver. That's our official title out there. My wife is Magawiya, you know, feminine ending. Magawi, that's blasphemy. Now, Lord, how can I change blasphemy into blessing? I said, Ali, you hear a man coming down the street, and he's shouting, moose, 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 moose. Now, nothing to do with a four-legged creature with a big head, you know. It means bananas. You never thought bananas were a moose out there. They have no legs or anything like that. So I said, Ali, when you want to buy some bananas, and he has got a wooden tray on his head piled with bananas, what do you do? Oh, he said, Makawi, deceiver. I say, Ya Abu Musa Ta'al, father of bananas, come. Ishte, I want to buy some bananas. Yeah, good. And you buy bananas from what? The father of bananas. I said, did that man marry a wife? They got together and said, they get children, bananas, bananas, and he's selling them. No. Don't take it literally. I said, oh, so you can call someone father and not mean it literally. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Three doors from you, on the same street, lives a man. And as I talk to people, they say, oh, Ahmed. Oh, Ahmed. Ibn Shaytan. Huh? Son of Satan. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Did Satan marry a wife and they gave birth to that man, Ahmed? Oh, no, not literal. But you call him Ibn Shaytan? Yeah. So you can use the word father and not mean it literally, and use the word son and not mean, yeah. Okay then, now, dot, just a minute then. Simmer down. If you and I can do that, cannot God do that also? Oh, you mean when you say Jesus is the Son of God, you don't mean literal? Well, I said, you agreed that you can use the word son and not mean it literally, the word father. Oh, but then when the Prophet Muhammad was traveling and talked to the Christians, Greek Orthodox Church, they called Mary, Mariam, Theotokos, the one that gave birth to God. I said, does the book call her Mother of God? Oh, I don't know. You better read the Injil. Injil means evangel. She is not called the Mother of God. I didn't know that. You knew that, didn't you? That the Bible never called the Virgin Mary the Mother of God. What did Gabriel say when he came into the room and said, greetings, I've got good news for you. You have been chosen, right? As the special, graced, favored from God. And you know the rest. You shall receive. Oh no, you shall be with a child. That means you will become pregnant and you will give birth to a child who will be called the Son of the Most High, and he will be great. He will sit on the throne of his great-great-great-grandpa David. How can that be? I'm not married yet. I don't have a husband. Oh, you won't need one. I won't need a husband, I won't need a man, and I will have a child. Yeah, that has never happened. He says, it will for the first time. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Mark those words. Every word counts. God never used a word that wasn't necessary. Shall overshadow you, and that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called No. Son of God. Luke's gospel, that holy thing, that set apart one that shall be called, born of you, shall be called, it didn't say God. It said Son of God. He will have no earthly father, but he will be your child. A miracle of the Holy Spirit, and his name shall be called. Did you find it? Luke chapter 1.
31 and 32.
What does it say?
Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus, and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.
Keep on reading.
And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said, how can this be, since I am a virgin?
Keep on reading.
And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God.
Shall be called?
The Son of God.
Did it say shall be called God? No, he said Son of God. We have to honor, friends, every word that God has seen to it that is put in writing. And that's what Gabriel said. Gabriel never said, and that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called God. We have no right to change the scriptures. That's Satan's job. Don't join him. So, I say to the Muslim, you see, the book, we are people of the book, the Jews are people of the book never said a woman will give birth to a god. Therefore, Mary is not the one that gave birth to God. But she is the one that God used to give birth to someone that shall be called Son of God. Mark that, friends. Now, I'm moving from Aden, Arabia, and from the Muslims, and I am at White Sulphur Springs on a Saturday morning, the 22nd of December, 2007, right? We are back home. That was a quick journey. Then I turn and say to God, I'm puzzled. Help me. How did God go about arranging this whole thing? You see, I can't help it. I'm a Greek. I have to be able to somehow put my arms around this. Though my head is small, my mind doesn't limit itself to only my head. Help me. And now, if you want to take a journey with me, we might find something that will help us. Last night, I mentioned to you that one of the first things we will look into is, was there a time when there was nothing created, right? And you agreed there was. True? Are you still here? There was a time when there was no time yet. That's funny. When all that was God. God has never stopped being totally, fully God. One God in three persons. And actually, obviously, all sufficient. He didn't need anything else to be completed or to be satisfied. But he was there. Now, where do we go from that? I'm not talking about the compressed little bit that the Big Bang, No, I'm not talking like that. That's man's imagination. I'm talking about actual scriptural statement. Now, you all have your Bibles. Will you please go to Genesis chapter 1 and begin to read in verse 26. I'm glad each one is turning to Genesis chapter 1. You found it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you read it for us, please?
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground."
Now, why would I send everyone to that passage when we are talking about a time when there was nothing but God, right? What am I after? What is the opening statement? And Elohim said, "Let us make." Catch that. Who is he talking to? Let us make. Who is he talking to?
Three persons.
Huh? Oh, he's not talking to Lucifer, is he? Huh?
No, I don't think so.
He's not talking to Gabriel. Uh-huh. He's talking to the totality. Elohim is plural. He's one person, we'll call him person number one, is talking to person number two and number three. Let's do something. Then he says what he is suggesting that they do. Now, I'm taking that. This is after much prayer. Where do I go from here, Lord? I'm taking that, and the Lord is saying, "Shorty, what I put there is how God operates. That's a crack in the wall for you. Look through that, and you will see the very beginning of everything. Because when there was nothing created at a certain moment of time, the first person said to the other two, 'Let us create.'" Let us create. The second and third persons, let us create. Yeah. Let us create spiritual beings and physical beings. And if you go to Colossians, not Galatians, Colossians chapter 1, he's got the reference also by heart.
15 and 16.
Yeah, first chapter of Colossians. First chapter, and this brother dear very quickly said verse 15. Why did you say verse 15?
I read it last night.
Oh, you did? Would you read it again, please?
When you were talking about it last night, I turned to it.
Okay.
"And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation."
Huh. But notice he is the what? The
image.
Image of whom?
Of God.
The invisible God.
Huh?
The invisible God.
Oh. Oh, and he is the firstborn
of all creation.
Without him, would there be any creation?
No.
So, the firstborn of all creation is going to look like what? The image of the invisible God. And in Genesis 1, 26, what did he say? "Let us make man." The same word. But God is spirit. He is not visible to physical eyes. So Genesis 1:26 is only a later, shall I say, repeat of what God said originally where there was no creation. And it would start with an image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And if he didn't If God didn't take care of that, would there be any creation, visible or invisible? What does the rest of the verse say?
For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth.
Visible?
And invisible.
So anything that is created, visible and visible, happened because first somebody had to be the image of God and be the firstborn of all creation. That's the starting point. So now, person number two and number three say, Let's look at it more clearly. Visible? Yeah. The first one, first person says, let's have a spread of galaxies. And in one of them, let's have a solar system with a center, a glow, and smaller things going around it. And among those that go around it, let's put a special planet and make it ultimately the very heart of what we will be creating through the firstborn of all creation. What do you mean? Well, you see, we'll create visible, material, and invisible spiritual creatures. And then, well, among the spiritual creatures, we'll have different ranks. Now, military people have no knowledge of ranks at all. Everybody is the same, right? Where have you been, Mr. Talk? Well, I've been in the army, and the first thing they taught us was, when you meet someone a step higher than you, you salute first. Is that true in the U.S. too? The lower salutes first. And they said to us, if the higher rank one doesn't return it, you report that one. That's what I was taught. That is the law. So, let them have ranks, and on top of all the spiritual, the spirit creatures, we will put the best of them, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, in charge of. Now, this is like putting on the table things. And make them not pre-programmed robots, but with choice, with the will and the choice. Person number three says, will that one be allowed to choose contrary to our will? Oh, yeah, if we create a person with a choice, otherwise we'll create robots. Okay, and what? Oh, and then he can rebel, and then what? Well, that's not the end of everything yet. We will create another creature that will not be only spirit. It will be partaking of the physical as well as of the spiritual. And when the only spirit beings fail, and some of them go against us, we will use what we put into the care of the leader of them, the jewel land will create, into the hands of this other creature that can relate to the physical and the spiritual, where are we going? Well, you see, the one that will be the firstborn of all creation, if we say you, person number two, would you like to be the spearhead for what I'm talking about? Would you like to I would like someone to help us. What did I do with that? Lord, something is hiding. Oh, here they are. Now, we said first, second, third person. Would you talk, the first person saying to the second person, when we start creating the physical, the visible, and the spiritual, the invisible word, how about you being the one that will do the actual uttering the commands for creation? Would you like to do that? Yeah. Okay, then we'll give you the name Word of God. You are tall enough. Could you come here, please? Now everybody can see him, right? Now, would you like to be the one that will utter the commands for creation?
Sure.
Okay. Now, of course, we all know that you are the I Am. You didn't know that, did you? I'm having a problem here. Oh, there it is. Now, Timmy put the scotch tape too, but we know the I Am is not held together by scotch tape. But you'll forgive me for this. You are the I Am. You always...
This is not blasphemy now, is it?
No.
I'm not going to get struck down.
Just don't say it. Just don't say it. Don't speak the words.
Don't speak the words.
There you go.
Speak the words and okay.
We can read it.
Okay. I'm not decorating you. We are using you.
Okay.
Now...
That's happened to me before, right?
Now, we want you... What happened to the other one? I haven't done this. Now, we will say, you, the I Am, will be the spokesman.
Okay.
Right? The word. The third person and I will, all three of us agree, but when it is time to act, you will utter the command. Okay. And creation will start. So, in that sense, your title as of now, who are the I Am, will be the firstborn. Now, that's not literal. Yeah. That means without you, nothing will be created. You understand?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
You want to be that?
Yeah.
Now, the third and the first, we will be always with you. But you will be the one that will do the uttering of it. Now, friends, in Hebrews chapter 11, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read verse 3.
Question before we do that, Mr. Todd.
Yes.
Do we not also understand I Am to be God the Father who spoke to Moses and said, I am. That is God the Father speaking to Moses.
Now, the passage doesn't say God the Father. It says, by my name I am, I have not revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now that I'm launching out something beyond what I did with them, my name will be, what I'm going to do will be under the name I am. He doesn't say I am the Father in the passage. He says, by my name, Yahweh, I have not dealt with them. And you will find, friends, that in Genesis 1, right through verse 31, it is Elohim. Yes. The minute you move to chapter 2, it is Yahweh Elohim. Because man now, from the planning, is a reality in detail how he was created. So the first time the Yahweh appears in the Bible is in chapter 2, not in chapter 1, nor in Genesis 3 or 4. That comes much later. So let's stay with this and see if it will work. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 3 reads how? Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand
that the worlds were prepared by the word of God.
Uh-huh. So, here is now the I am with this new title, Word of God, rhemati theou, by the utterance there. See, in the Greek, logos is word, rhema is utterance. In Hebrews 11, 3, is by the rhemati, in the dative case, of God, by the utterance. And then we have a very interesting second half of the verse. What is the second half? So that
what is seen was not made out of things which are visible.
So you see, I am, when you utter the command, and we have a galaxy over there, that visible, tangible, will be made out of the invisible. Does it say ex nihili? Ex nihil. Does it say ex nihil? From nothing. Now that would have been an ideal place, according to some teachers, to put it there. But that is not what the scripture says. When you utter the command for a galaxy will be there, but not out of nothing. It will be out of invisible, changed into visible. Now, I am, do you understand that? So when you utter the command and the solar system appears on the scene, it is a visible made out of the totality, invisible powers. I know that goes against the grain of quite a few people's teachings, but the scriptures say not from that which is visible to human beings, not from nothing. Yes, I see a tall hand.
Okay, so the power to create galaxies was invisible, but the substance on which they used to make the universe was created, meaning out of nothing.
No, it doesn't say out of nothing. Read verse 3 again. No, I know that teaching. I struggled with it. I wrote to the people that published the magazine, Creation, and they used to put under it ex nihilo. I challenged them. I said, do you have scientific and scriptural support for putting ex nihilo? Guess where they sent me for scriptural support? Hebrews 11, 3, I said, I guess they can't read English. It says the things that are visible were not made from things that are visible. It didn't say out of nothing.
What did Genesis 1 say, create?
Okay. Dr. Donald Barnhouse takes you to Rabbi Russman and declares him as a great linguist and says, this great linguist says, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning created the Elohim, the heavens, plural Hashamayim, well, Ard, and the earth. Seeing that there is nothing before Genesis 1:1, therefore, bara must mean out of nothing. But you see, that kind of extrapolation runs into trouble because the same word bara is used further down in the chapter when God is creating things from what things are, creating things from the waters, the living creatures, and to make it even more interesting, the same word, Isaiah 65 and verse 17, the Lord says, I am creating new Hashamayim and new earth, new heavens and new earth. And as you read the rest of that chapter, what is he doing is he rejuvenating this present dilapidated and defiled and becoming worse and worse. Land, sea, and air, we're polluting it. He is rejuvenating for the millennium. Read the rest of the chapter. It's this earth, but I am creating bara, new heavens, new earth. I'm rejuvenating. He is not doing it out of nothing. So, friends, the very scriptures in the Hebrew disagree with that rabbi who says, because there's nothing before verse 1, Genesis 1, therefore bara means out of nothing. That's a very, very poor linguistic offer.
Can I ask the Word of God for a second opinion?
The Word of God. No, this Word of God.
Well, that Word of God.
Hi, Word of God. Yeah. They are talking to you. You are taller than I am. Hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Comment on 11:3 and then another scripture. Although Hebrews 11:3 says, by the word, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible, it doesn't say that it was made out of things that are invisible.
No.
In Psalm 33:6-9 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast.
Yes.
It was all done by the word of God, not by anything else.
Yes, that's exactly what we are saying. The I am is uttering the command.
But it sounds like you're saying he made it out of something that was invisible.
But when you say this that you see and feel was not made from something you can see and feel, are you saying it was made out of nothing?
Right.
No.
It was made out of the Word of God. He just spoke. Yeah. He just spoke it into existence. He's not making it out of something.
As opposed to transforming something invisible into visible.
Ah. You see, he did not have to say it was not made out of invisible. That's where ideally, if bara means out of nothing, ex nihilo, he should have said he made it out of nothing, if that's what happened. Well, yes, but that's the command. The command doesn't mean magic. It means he is using something that you and I cannot see. It doesn't mean, by the way, if an atheist was here and he said to us, in your book, in the Psalms, it says, there is no God. Twice. What would you say to him? That's in the Psalms. There is no God. What do you say to the atheist that says your own book says there is no God? Do you have an answer?
You're a fool. It also says that. It says a fool says in his heart.
Give him the full sentence. You are taking out part of a sentence when you say your Bible says there is no God. Read the whole sentence, please. Now, pray tell me, where does ex nihilo belong? Is it the full statement? Have you found out if that's all that was said in Latin? How many have looked it up?
I think that's the thing. A lot of us, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, I guess. I don't know all of the roots of the, you know, linguistically, all the different language things in the Bible. You know, I read what I have for a translation, but I think there's sometimes there can be something we need to look back and, like you probably have with the different languages, and put it all together in context.
Okay.
And some, I think some translations do better at that than others, but I think we assume a lot.
Okay.
We assume a lot.
Now, you say to the atheist, read the whole sentence. Well, may I now turn around and say, will you give me the whole sentence to which ex nihilo belongs? Otherwise, you Christians are doing exactly the same thing that you point the finger at the atheist. You are leaving out part of the sentence. The sentence is not only ex nihilo. The sentence is ex nihilo nihil fit. Out of nothing, nothing comes. Why don't you quote the whole sentence first to me? We are just as guilty when we use part of a sentence to support something that the very sentence in its originality denies. You knew that, didn't you? If not, you know it now. Friends, we cannot bring from outside into the scriptures just because a rabbi said or somebody else said and make scripture bend and fit into that bottle or into that box. God says, I want you to know through the utterance of the word of God, Rhema Titheu, from what you see visible, I made from what is not visible to you, people on earth, but not to God. Yes.
I guess I'm not understanding why the consternation, why is it a big deal that it sounds like you think that God took something that was invisible, translated it into things that were visible, so that there was always something there that wasn't physical or tangible before, and some of that became what we now know as physical. That's what I hear you saying, and others of us are saying that there was nothing, and then God spoke, and then there was everything. Why is that such a...
Why are we counting that?
Okay, how much science have you studied, and will you please tell me what is the smallest bit into which you can reduce matter? What do you end up with as you go down, down, down to the smallest?
An atom. Subatomic particles that are smaller than atoms.
Yeah.
Except I'll throw in the caveat that that's all that we know about. That is.
And what is it, in other words, what you at present, now in 10 years we may have made some more, but where are we at present when we...
There's six different pieces of a quark that they found. Up, down, strange, charmed, left, right, whatever. So that's as small as they can find so far.
Again, I don't understand what theologically or doctrinally is at stake in this whole discussion. I mean, God is sovereign. He is creator.
Let me intervene here just a minute. I think we're getting the cart before the horse. And I suggest that we let Mr. Tuck finish his presentation, and we wrestle with this in discussion afterwards.
Okay.
Because I think in the context of what he's trying to say, we'll have a fuller picture of where he's going if we'll let him finish.
Okay. Okay. Do you mind waiting until discussion hour?
That's good. That's very good. I think
Okay, you still have it, but not right now. Okay, now, I am simply taking literally that by the utterance of God, the ages, the worlds were framed, katarthisti, fitted together. By the way, the very word there in Hebrews 11:3 cannot afford to be used for from nothing. You do not fit together nothing. So he is fitting together. The same word is used when Jesus calls John, James, and John, who were repairing the torn nets. The same word is used in writing to Timothy. God says, rightly dividing the word of truth fully in the scriptures so that the man of God will be. That's the same word. You are putting things together in a fitting way so that now you are usable. It's not putting together nothing, friend. The very word in Hebrews 11:3 will not allow the word ex nihilo. It's out of place. Anyway, we will discuss it more. Now, but he says they were fitted together so that what is visible to us human beings was not made from what is visible. That's all it says. Now, let's go on with I am here. You will utter the commands and will create visible and invisible creatures. And because you will be the one that will be doing that, on behalf of all three of us, you will have the title, the firstborn, the necessary starting point, the privileged one for all creation, of all creation. Now again, the title doesn't mean you were born. But we are using you the word firstborn. You say, would you like to do that? Yeah. Okay, now, the third person will be just as much available as I will be, but you will be the one that will utter the commands. Now then, when the top one among the invisible, that is, spirit beings, rebels, what we entrust him with, the earth, will also suffer damage, just like later on, the other creature, when he rebels, the earth will be cursed with thistles and thorns and so on. So we will rejuvenate it and then put new ones in charge. But this time, they will be having a physical as well as a spiritual side to themselves. And they will be also persons. Now, we can see the end from the beginning. We will have to do something to salvage this second set of creatures. When that time comes, would you like to go to the little globe in the solar system and save them, salvage them, by becoming one of them? Okay. Would you?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm going to be born.
Amen, brother.
Oh, just a minute. Okay. Now, you said yes? You said yes to that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you said yes to creation.
Right.
You have said yes to redemption. Okay, great. You are my son. Okay. This day I've begotten you. I suggested, we all agreed, and you accepted the position and the role of the firstborn of all creation. Therefore, I can call you my son. And our relationship from now on will be, you check with me as a son checks with his father. I'll be as a father to you. You will be as a son to me. You will never do anything without checking with me. Are you going to do that?
Yes.
So as of this moment...
At this point, I was just second person. Now I'm son, right?
Yeah, you're still the second person.
Yeah, I'm still second person.
And your name is the I Am, because when you go down to earth and they talk about things, you will say in John 8:58, look it up. In John 8:58, you will do just this. You will say, before Abraham became Abraham, I am. And be prepared then, because they'll pick up stones to kill you. Mm-hmm. But you'll be telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Mark that, friends. The title, I Am, is what came out of the lips of Jesus of Nazareth. So I am trying to stay in the scriptures. But he accepted to be the word of God, to be the one that will utter the commands. And he accepted to be in the position in which he will be continually checking with me. Now, when you go down there, as a human being, the word, John chapter 1, verse 14. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. The word that utter things will become flesh, a human being. And you will live amongst them as one of them at every point except for sin. You want to do that?
Yes.
You see, he is agreeing at the right time to become also from the Creator to be as one of the creatures, a human being, a flesh. Because, you see, that way you can represent the whole human being. If you stay only as the I Am, you cannot represent them. You have to be. You see, now, at the UN, does India still send as a delegate a Brahma bull? Huh?
No.
Would a Brahma bull represent India at the UN?
Not very well.
No, this is...
Some of them are about that bad.
Are you catching on? You have to be one of the peer group to represent them. Otherwise they say, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what human beings are up against. A bull doesn't know that. A bull can go into your field and eat the corn. Do you take the bull to court?
No.
You can't. It's not a person. It's not a human being. So in order to represent the whole human race and become that the one that will save them, you have to become one of them at every point, except, of course, for sin, because if you also sin, then you disqualify also.
Yeah, but I have a capability of sinning.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's the whole preciousness of Jesus, that he will start. When we go later on, I'll show you actual scientific things here. But you will be 100% a human being from ground zero. The only difference is we are not going to let the Virgin Mary start the pregnancy through Joseph, because that would be just one more sinner. We have plenty of them anyway. Mm-hmm. No, but it will be a special creation of a sinless blood, and I will show you later on, we have actually part of that sinless blood, scientifically proven. And so the conception moment will be different from Isaiah 51:5. you will not be conceived, your mother will not conceive you in sin. The moment of conception will be from the egg of the virgin, and a new blood, DNA, arranged by the Holy Spirit. That's why the angel will say to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. I have something here that you will be enjoying very much, what that stands for. It's not the time for it, but you will be born sinless. And you will be choosing
to remain.
As a human being, you will be choosing, always check with me, and you will be choosing to say no to the tempter. And you will present to the world that where Adam failed, he was created in the image of God, mm-hmm. you will be the image of the invisible God. And where Adam, the first Adam, failed, Romans 5:14, you will not fail by choice.
Okay, when I come down, do I give up this?
No, no, you keep.
I am.
You are, you know, see this now? Let me see. See this here? What is this?
That's your upside down driver's license. Okay, no, sorry, sorry,
no. Okay. Now, this is my ID. This is his ID.
But which I will retain all the time, even when I come down to earth.
Ah, just a minute.
Okay.
This is my ID, but this is not me.
Okay.
This is my ID.
Okay.
You are the I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you will go down, you will not take everything with you. We will do what they will read later on, Philippians chapter 2. Though you will be at every point God, yet in order to accomplish what you are agreeing now, you will choose. I'm not going to force this onto you. You will on your own say, I'll take this off. Oh, there's another layer. You will empty. The Greek word is eafton ekenosi. He emptied himself, not by pressure. He said, if I am choosing to go down and be that, the word become flesh. Then I cannot take all these with me, because if I take these with me, I cannot be tempted. Is God tempted with evil? Does he tempt anyone with evil? Therefore, that would not do. Temptation would be water on a duck's back to you there. No, you leave behind that which will make you absolutely immune to temptation. Otherwise, it's not a victory. Mm-hmm. It's a mockery. So you will become flesh, but your identity is the I am, mm-hmm. but the I am now operating in the man, the Son of Man. So you will have another title, by the way. Let me see where that is. Son of Man.
Okay.
When you become the child of the Virgin, this will be your title, Son of Man. Oh, well, we'll put another one here. You see now what I'm doing, that he didn't stop being the I Am, but he was willing to be changed into the Son of Man.
So I gave up the power of...
When all this is happening, you... He's being decorated not by the president. Now, when all this happens, your real title will be Son of God in operation.
Take a picture.
Now, you agree to all this?
Yes.
So we can say to Gabriel, go and tell the Virgin, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. But he is the I Am that created. He is now the Son of Mary, and he is the Son of God. Now, is that in the scripture? will you please go to Isaiah chapter 9 and read verse 6? See if I am imagining or is it solidly in the scriptures. Isaiah 9, verse 6. What does it say, sister?
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Now, why does it say, unto us a child is born, and Mary is holding it, her arms, right? Mm-hmm. What's the next thing?
A son is given.
Oh, he is given. He was already born before creation when he said yes. So the son that was born before creation and through whom, if you go to Hebrews chapter 1, read the opening statement, Hebrews 1:1. At different times, in different ways, God spoke to the fathers in the prophets. In the Greek it's I-N. In the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us in the Son, whom he made heir of all things. And what's the next statement?
Through whom also he made the world.
Through whom he already had made all things. So through the Son, through whom as the Word of God created all things, now in these last days has been speaking to us. So Isaiah 9:6 gives us a babe, a child is born, but a son is given. He's already a son. And he's given to us in this babe that is born by the Virgin. Now, his titles, if I take time now, this session would be too long. But the two are there. The babe is born from the Virgin. The Son of God that created all things is given along with him at the time. But he was born before creation so that creation could be a reality. How much time do we have?
Now's a good time for a break.
Okay. Will you please close in prayer for us for this session?